are listening to Wells Tech, episode 619, recorded for January 14th, 2020. Forward in Christ in 2020. Wells Tech is a weekly podcast exploring the intersections of technology and ministry. It is part of the podcast network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Our show today is hosted by Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Today we are joined on the show by Forward in Christ staff editor Nicole Balza. She talks a little bit about the makeover of the magazine and the digital project that they've been working on very hard and now launching in 2020. Some exciting things there. We also talk about some digital Bible study opportunities and our focus maybe for 2020 on that. News and tech, Wells Now, Picks of the Week. Sally is getting artsy, so stay tuned for that and so much more. Welcome to Wells Tech, everybody. This is episode 619. We're recording this on January 14th, 2020. Sally, I've been told that you shouldn't write just 20 on your checks, or not that anybody writes checks anymore, but that can easily be modified to 20-something.
Oh,
so it's good to write 2020 the whole thing out. So just a good pro tip there for you for the new year. Welcome, Sally Draper.
Thanks, Martin. I'm glad that I learned that today from you, and I can see clearly 2020 ahead of us. That would be our 13th year of doing the Wells Tech thing.
A lot of numbers, 619 episodes, all told. There aren't too many podcasts with 619 episodes. And we made it to another decade. We went all the way through one decade and a piece of another, and we're starting a third. So that's pretty cool.
It is, and I think it's because we have a topic that keeps on giving. We decided quite some time ago to talk about technology and ministry and where those two meet up and how that affects, in particular, our Wells churches and schools. And it's been an interesting topic to explore, and I can predict with pretty good certainty that this new decade's going to hold even more interesting things that we can't even imagine at this point in time.
I just celebrated 15 years in this position. So just doing the quick math, it was just a couple years where we didn't have the podcast. And you and I started, I think, even in the same year, didn't we?
I think so. I was earlier than in the year than you.
So I can't even remember when we didn't have a podcast.
Yeah, my memory doesn't work that way. It's all tuned into Wells Tech. And,
And
I've been typing those episodes, all 619 of them, into the blog for that many years. And so
it's a lot of stuff there.
Lots of great things, particularly when we feature our listeners and the things that they're doing in local churches and schools. So that's when we really learn the good stuff.
So what do the 20s have in store for the podcast, do you think? What kind of things are we going to be talking about?
That's a great question. And I would guess more digital and more mobile are probably pretty good bets for the coming decade. And how that affects a church and a school, we've seen just dramatic changes in classrooms, for instance, over the time that we've been podcasting, and I don't think those changes are done with yet.
So. I'm seeing, and maybe this is just anecdotal, but I'm seeing, I think, a greater awareness of what technology offers for ministry. I used to get a lot of requests to speak and talk on different things like building websites and those kinds of things, and I don't get that much anymore because I think that knowledge or the ease of, you know, the barriers to entry are so much smaller, and that there's somebody or people are recognizing the importance of getting smart in some of these areas and just doing it. So I think that's a very positive trend within our churches. So it's been a slow kind of gradual increase, but I think it's a good one.
Yep. We worshiped over the Christmas holidays at Grace in Hutchinson, Minnesota, pretty small congregation. Mm-hmm. And the pastor there was excited to tell us that they had a screen in place. So more screens in worship, and that becoming also kind of more normal feeling. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be that I was a little bit defiant and I would get the book out and turn to page 15 in the front and things like that. And now I really enjoy that experience of looking up and singing forward instead of staring down at a book and that kind of thing. So, it's just becoming more a part of our lives and our worship as well.
Right. And there's going to be challenges, of course, but I think there's some careful planning and more strategic thinking going on about how to implement this technology. So I think there'll be plenty of things to talk about in the 20s. Another thing that's going to be kind of interesting is the release of the new hymnal. Obviously, there'll still be a paper hymnal, but there will be digital products around it as well. There'll be an app. There'll be a musician's resource. There'll be a service builder tool that'll wrap some worship things together. So it'll be interesting to see how that makes its way into congregations as well.
Looking forward to that very much. We were just reminiscing at church. I actually go to church at Christ the Lord in Brookfield, and Pastor Gerlach, who's the administrator for the worship area and very involved in the hymnal project, is a member there as well. And we talked about and reminisced about the new hymnal in 1993. My husband and I got married, and I became a member, and I was so excited that there was a new hymnal. And I remember going to the introduction workshop, and Pastor Gerlach said, yeah, he was going to be involved in doing that this time around. He was involved in it last time and those kind of things. So it is exciting times to see all that work that the committee's done for many years now coming into fruition and us actually going to have a new hymnal very soon.
Right. I was in the pastoral ministry during that launch. It's going to be a little bit different because I think the big thing at that point was kind of the language change. It was a paper book and whatever, but we went from, something like that, to a more modern language, a new version of the Lord's Prayer, Apostles' Creed, those kinds of things. Here, it's not going to be so much a language change. There's tweaks, of course, and new hymns and other hymns going out, but the digital stuff, what you might be seeing on the screen and those kinds of things. So
exciting.
So there are plenty of things to talk about in 2020. We're going to start our discussion, this podcast, 619, talking about something old that is now new again, and that is from our friends at Northwestern Publishing House, and that's the Forward in Christ magazine. And that magazines are obviously something that are having to figure out how to still be relevant, because a lot of people don't subscribe to magazines, and NPH is recognizing that as well. So they're trying to figure out how to be relevant and get that precious gospel into the hands of as many people as possible, and just a super valuable resource. And how do we repackage this and get more listeners or more viewers, more readers, more subscribers into the fold? So that's one of the things that they're trying to think about and strategize about. And we had a chance to talk with the Forward in Christ site staff editor, Nicole Balza. And she joined us and talked a little bit about some of the things that they're trying to do to bring FIC into 2020. And I think you'll be interested to hear what she has to say. So let's listen to that now.
Joining us today, we have Nicole Balza. Very excited to have Nicole with us. You guys will recognize her from Together Video Updates, but she is actually the staff editor, a staff editor for Forward in Christ magazine and the team lead for the new Forward in Christ website. Excited to have you, Nicole.
Thank you, Sally.
Yeah. Why don't you tell our viewers a little bit about yourself and your work for Wells, whatever you want to share.
Sure. Let's see. I have worked for Wells since 1999, really, for Wells Communication Services. So as part of Wells Communication Services, I do a variety of different things, mostly related to writing and editing. And so part of that is working with Forward in Christ magazine. So I write a lot of news articles for Forward in Christ magazine, do some editing, and I also manage the Parent Conversations column.
Favorite.
That's been going on for a few years now. So, and then along with that, as you mentioned, I also do some video work for Wells Together Video Updates and some things like that as well, and just a variety of communication things.
Excellent.
So, yeah.
It's great to have you on the other side of the microphone, finally.
Right, so exactly.
Been working closely with you on Forwarding Christ, the web version. And there's been a web presence with Forwarding Christ for some time. Tell us a little bit about the history of that, and then we'll maybe look forward to what's coming up. So Forwarding Christ on the web, what does that look like in the past?
Sure. Well, maybe just as a quick overview for people, Forwarding Christ magazine is really designed to kind of be a tool to help our members be able to grow in their faith and to be able to learn more about the Synod and the different things that we believe, and then to hear inspiring stories from Wells members and see how people put their faith into action. Yeah. And so in the past, our web presence has been on wells.net. So if you go to wells.net/forwardinchrist, then you can find our articles there. And as we worked to relaunch the magazine in January 2020, we decided that we wanted to be able to create more of a community for our readers. And so rather than just be able to just have people read the magazine in print, we wanted them to be able to also feel like they had a space where they could come and they could share more things and there could be additional content, and also then that they would be able to share things more easily with people if they see an article that they really like, things like that. So that's when we decided we wanted to create our own website, and so that's where forwardinchrist.net kind of got its start.
Okay. Excellent. You know, I look at websites and I'm totally not a designer or layout person, and I think, wow, it's so intuitive or whatever. But how do you even begin to embark on that? What kind of goals did you set for yourself as you envisioned this new web presence?
Ooh, it was really interesting because it's not something that I had much experience with in the past either. I've worked with Wells.net slightly along the way, but my role is usually to copy edit and say, oh, there's a typo over there. Mm-hmm. and I'm not usually the big picture functionality or even design person for the website. And so as we started this journey, yeah, we definitely had to take a look at what are we trying to accomplish here and what are our goals, what are things that we want to be able to do and the site to be able to do. Now, we were also kind of realistic about it. We obviously have limited staff and limited time to be able to accomplish it. And so we have different phases. So what people will see if they go to forwardinchrist.net isn't necessarily what, you know, there will be more features available as the site kind of continues and evolves. So some of the things that were really important to us at the beginning, though, were that it be a place where when people came that they feel familiar and comfortable, that it looks like the print version of the magazine, so you can kind of recognize that it's part of Forwarding Christ. And that's really what having a separate site does for us versus being on wells.net does, because we can really create it so that it mimics the print version of the magazine more closely and people feel like they're there and part of the Forwarding Christ community. Cool. And then another goal of the site was to make sure then that we had the articles available for people, that they can find them, that they can search them, that they can share them, and then that they can get more resources associated with them. So one of the great things about the web is that if you're reading an article on a certain topic and you want to learn more about that topic, there's ways then, you know, you can search to find if there's other Forwarding Christ articles that have been done on that topic. You can find books that Northwestern Publishing House, you know, has on that topic, and you can buy those books. We may eventually have more content as far as podcasts and videos go that would be related content. So you're really able to expand on, you know, one particular article and maybe find different ways of expanding your knowledge about it.
So. So let's take maybe a little bit deeper look at forwardinchrist.net.
Okay.
Can you walk us through some of the key content pieces and some of the features that you're excited about and people should be aware of?
Sure. Well, when you first come to forwardinchrist.net, what you'll really see very first is you'll see the main features in the magazine for that month, the stories that we're featuring and that we're highlighting for any given month and from the print version. So those will be front and center. And if you click on those articles, then you'll be able to read the article and if you'll see who the author is at the end. And if you click on the author, it'll take you to an author bio section, and it'll also show you all the articles that that particular author has written in the past that we have available online, as well as other information about the author, things like that. And as I mentioned, then some of those corollary things that you might be able to, other articles that are on that topic or other resources that would be available. So I think those are things that are really nice on the site that are advantages for people to be able to just to learn more and to continue to grow in their faith with Forward in Christ. They also can do a lot of sharing, things that we encourage them to do that with the print version. We ask for photos and for people to send us their news and things like that. But sometimes, especially in the print magazine, we have to be very selective on what goes in the print version because we have word limits and page counts that we have to stick to. Mm-hmm. Versus on forwardinchrist.net, we're able to put so much more on. And so I'm excited to be able to offer more of those things. So we're really encouraging people to bring, you know, to send us their photos from all the different events in their congregation and send us video clips, you know, short video clips of things, and we can add those in and their news items, and we'll be able to put more of those online than we can put in the magazine. So I think that's another exciting part of the site.
How much of that history are you going to have? You talked about what's available online.
Sure. Well, when the site first goes live, we are planning on having, we'll have 1 year of the past articles loaded on our site. So we'll have 2019, all of 2019 will be available. And then 5 years previous to that are available still on wells.net. And so through the search function, you won't necessarily know the difference, but you know, you'll be able to find them. But they might not look like they belong to Forward in Christ site because they're still actually being housed on wells.net. Gradually, we'll be working those over and bringing those over too. But then we're also working on the functionality of being able to have PDF version, like to go to the search a full PDF of a particular issue and being able to look at it that way as well. And if people have things that they're looking for, they can basically fill out our contact form and we'll help them find things from the archives in the past, because that happens to us too, and we get requests for things that are older than 5 years. But in general, we usually just online try to keep it to about 5 years.
Mm-hmm. So a richer experience, audio, video that you can plug in there and other things. That's all part of phase one. Mm-hmm. You know, is there more to come? Are there plans to kind of take this to the next step?
There are definitely more plans. There will be more things to come. One of the things that we'll also be debuting with phase one is actually an e-newsletter, a weekly e-newsletter. Okay. And I see that that's something that I think will continue to get enhanced as we move along. And there'll be more pieces to that and more extra content. I think when we're first getting started, we just want to make sure that we can really be solid on the main content from Forward in Christ magazine. Mm-hmm. And then as we, you know, get our bearings and have a little bit of time, we can start putting together some of those extra features, some of those videos and podcasts and things like that that will really enhance people's experiences.
Excellent. We'll have to have you back and learn more as time goes on.
That would be wonderful.
Good. Well, thanks very much for taking the time to introduce us to forwardinchrist.net. We're excited about the launch of the new site. Can't wait to go there and check it all out.
Great, thank you. We're excited for people to join our Forward in Christ community online.
Thank you, Nicole, for taking the time. A very exciting project, and I personally enjoy Forward in Christ and the direction that they're headed with, you know, the focus on media and the additional resources and just the digital version that's out there as well. And plus the makeover of the paper magazine itself is kind of nice.
Yeah, it's so clean, and I just really love the new design and the new content and some of the new people they've brought on for 2020, including a friend of mine, Pastor Professor David Sharp, who serves at Martin Luther College and is now handling the Q&A section in the magazine. And this month in particular, he's got something interesting about God wanting me to be happy and what God really wants for me is to be in heaven.
Mm-hmm. This is a regular feature, which is kind of nice, and I think speaks to the relevance of the magazine, because a lot of the questions that they bring up and raise in this particular segment are things that you hear a lot. Just very relevant material. And it kind of leads into, I think, maybe something we should focus on over the course of the year, and that's the ability to have Bible study through the use of digital resources. You know, so clearly FIC has got some digital resources, but maybe as we go through the year, we can kind of focus on different digital Bible study techniques and tools and approaches and those kinds of things. We're doing kind of a family Bible study in my family using online resources with a paper book, but the ability to kind of meet online through Google Hangouts and share thoughts through a Facebook group. I'm really excited about some of the ways that we can use the tools that God has given us, the digital tools that God has given us to take advantage of some of the Bible study and Bible truths that He's also given us.
Yep, and Forward in Christ has actually given you a little taste of digital Bible study or just the digital magazine by giving you the January edition for free. So we definitely want to direct our listeners over to the Forward in Christ website and particularly, we'll include a link in the show notes where you can go to the Forward in Christ presence on the NPH site. And when you go there, you'll get the opportunity to sign up for the free digital issue for January. So if you're interested in this Bible study that Professor Scharf authored about God wanting me to be in heaven, that's part of that issue. But it'll also give you a flavor of what it's like to subscribe digitally to the Forward in Christ magazine.
Right. There's also a ability or the ability to subscribe to an e-newsletter, which will have kind of a bunch of different things as it evolves. They're trying to figure out what are the best things to share with you or take online into your email inbox. So we'll put a link to that in the show notes as well, the ability to subscribe to their what they're calling their e-news.
Yeah, one of my favorite things about the age that we live in now is that you can connect to brands and people and things that you really appreciate and enjoy and get kind of more insider information or whatever it may be. And this is just one way. I am a huge fan of Forward in Christ, and I love the idea of them reaching out to me throughout the month with their e-newsletter.
Right. Very good. Thanks again to Nicole for taking the time and really take advantage of what NPH has to offer here with Forward in Christ. It is our magazine. It's the magazine of the Synod, and just some great resources if you haven't taken a look at it in a while. Now's the time. Mm-hmm. Let's move on. We'll talk more about digital Bible study as 2020 goes along, but now we're going to jump into some of our tried and true segments. One of those is news in tech. Sally, what's newsy in the tech world these days?
Actually, today's date is newsy in the tech world in kind of a sad way, I guess. Today is the day that Microsoft officially ends support for Windows 7. Mm-hmm. I know it's been a while since I personally have had a Windows 7 machine, but some articles I read indicated that I think over 26% of the market share, millions of users are still using Windows 7 on their computers. And today's the day when you will no longer get updates for that software. You won't get virus protection when new things are unleashed and things like that. So really seriously time to move away from your Windows 7 machines and get an upgrade of some kind. And you can go a lot of directions with that, but today's the day.
Yep. And unfortunately, at this point in time, it's going to cost you when you upgrade. There was a time a couple years back where Microsoft was really trying to get people off of 7 onto 10 just to, you know, make sure everybody was getting those security updates, and they were offering free upgrades for a while, but that time has passed. So now you're going to put to Andy up a few greenbacks, but it's important to do this. Don't ignore this, regardless of the machine. Anything that's connected to the internet, especially, you need to get that upgraded so that you get those security patches.
And yeah, I'm thinking it's pretty easy to have some old, musty computer sitting around somewhere on the church network that might still be running the software software. If you don't want to ante up the money, there's Linux versions out there and, you know, other options that you can explore. But you do need to get updated somehow.
Yep. All right. So that's the news in the tech world. What about news in the Wells world?
Well, I was excited to read about a brand new conference that's starting for the first time this year. It's sponsored by the Wells Women's Ministry Area, and it's a Women's Writers Conference. How's that for a title? It is geared toward women who are interested in the vocation of writing. It's to allow for networking of writers, for sharing ideas and collaboration opportunities, mentoring, prayer, and spiritual support. And it's just meant to provide practical help and resources for writing improvement. I know there are many people out there who are undertaking things like personal blogs or blogs around topics and things. And it's really wonderful when people let their Christian light shine in the course of doing that kind of thing. So if that's an area of interest for you, or if you know someone, a woman who might enjoy being at the Women's Writers Conference, it's coming up April 24th and 25th. It's going to be held at Trinity Lutheran Church in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and there is an online registration form that is currently live. The cost is only $75 to participate. Again, April 24th and 25th, so I believe that's a Friday night into Saturday morning, and they'll have some events on Friday night and fellowship time and things, and then a pretty full day on Saturday with different panel discussions, presentations, things like how do I publish and how do I do marketing, what's mm-hmm. worked for my work, and other topics I'm sure that will be of interest. So check out the link in our show notes. You can head over and get registered for the Women's Writers Conference.
Nice. Notice that Nicole Balza will be speaking at that conference. So
yeah.
Let's move on to our tips or picks of the week. Sally, ladies first.
Well, we haven't talked yet about Christmas and new hardware. And so now is the time because, you know, between the two of us, Martin, we kind of are notorious for adding to our hardware on occasions like that. And for me personally, I added a new iPad and an Apple Pencil to my collection. And one of the things that I've been focusing on is something that's really outside my comfort zone, and it's artwork on the iPad. And I kind of got into this a little bit because I'd like to do more hand lettering, they would call it, so pretty text that you can turn into images or overlay on images. Different than just typing things out. Even with a pretty handwritten font, you're still all in the same line and mm-hmm. things like this, and this gives you more creativity. And the tool of choice, as far as I can tell, for everyone in the world on an iPad is a piece of software, an app called Procreate. And so that was on my list. I needed an iPad and an Apple Pencil and Procreate software. And then I was kind of facing a blank palette, and what do I draw and how do I draw it and how do I learn? And so I have invested a little in some hand lettering guides and some videos for that, but probably the thing that I found that I've enjoyed the most is a YouTube channel called Art with Flo, F-L-O. She has about 71,000 subscribers, so she's a pretty popular lady, and she basically uses Procreate and walks you step-by-step through all the process of creating different types of imagery. And I've drawn everything from mushrooms to howling wolves, and also kind of experimented with neon looks and different things like that. And one of my favorites was a drawing of a rocket ship. So just kind of an outer space with this fun little rocket. He has a little smile on him and things like that. But what's cool about Procreate is it's in layers, And you can actually animate, because you can turn on and off the layers and create animated GIFs or movies or whatever. And so one of her video tutorials actually walked me through that. And I'll throw my happy little animated GIF rocket in the show notes so you can take a look. But I guess if I were making recommendations at this point in my vast experience of a few weeks, I would recommend Art with Flow and Procreate on the iPad. Art with Flow is free. It's a YouTube channel, so anybody can go there and follow along with her drawings. It's kind of like, and I'm totally drawing a blank. The guy on PBS, Bob Ross. It's kind of like drawing along with or painting along with Bob Ross, but you're doing it on a digital surface. She does have that extra layer of a Patreon channel. I'm sorry, there's a lot of P's there. Procreate and Patreon. And Patreon is where you can pay
support her,
kind of a
right.
subscription base, mm-hmm. and she gives you additional tutorials and things through Patreon. So it's been interesting, and I have to say I had a real fangirl moment this week because she's actually in a Facebook group that I'm a part of, mm-hmm. this Art with Flow character. I'm guessing it's her people, not her particular. But she actually replied to one of my comments to her. So she and I, we're just super close. And I
BFFs, yes.
Yeah, couldn't recommend her more highly. So, yeah, it's been fun. And I would be curious if anybody else is getting into any kind of artistic endeavors and using the iPad to do it.
Cool. Now, mm-hmm. are you artistic? Would you call yourself
sir.
A drawer? Or in high school, college, did you?
I took some doodling? Art classes, but I just took them to satisfy that on my, check it off on my requirements for college or whatever. But
right.
I have one son who's got a lot of art talent and I always look to him for any kind of projects or whatever. But I'm a maker, mm-hmm. and this is another thing to learn to
right.
make. And so that's what
cool.
I'm
yeah, attempting. Procreate is probably the first one that was out when the Apple Pencil came out as far as tools that you could use. So
it's powerful.
And it's cheap, too. It's like $9.99. Yeah. It's very, right. very inexpensive. And yeah. tons of videos out there, too.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Very cool. I'm going to maybe try that. The Bible study that I'm doing with my family has coloring pages.
Oh, there you
go. So I thought maybe I would try and scan those in and use some of the tools that Procreate has to do some iPad coloring.
Yeah,
so.
True confessions. I did find some llamas to color, and so there was some coloring that happened at my house as well.
Very nice.
It'll do the job.
All right, good. Well, in keeping with the Christmas gifts tradition, one of my daughters gave me was an Amazon Alexa Auto. And that is maybe a dentine gum size little unit that you can put in your car and you bring Amazon Alexa into your vehicle with you. Now it needs to, or she needs to connect to your phone. She just doesn't do her own thing by herself, but she goes and basically gives you all the commands that you would have for an Alexa device, an Echo Dot or Show or whatever in your own home. Anybody who lives in a state where you can't even touch your phone in the car, and there are a number of states that do that, this is a nice addition. One of the nicest things about it is the microphones. Now, I've talked to my phone in the car before, whether it was Siri or Google Assistant, but the microphone on your phone with the car noise and the radio or whatever is just not a great experience, especially if you hook it up with Bluetooth and trying to use the little speaker that's in your car. Just, more oftentimes than not, just a total fail. But this device has an array of 8 little microphones around the device. So it can hear over car noise. It can hear over the radio. Really responsive, and then kind of a nice interface into your phone, and we'll do all the Alexa things, so you can talk, you can ask to play music, get directions, play games, all those kinds of things are available, make phone calls, etc. So this is a fairly inexpensive device. I don't know if I looked it up recently. Let me just do it quick here on my looking it up on my iPad here. I should be able to know this.
I have a funny Alexa story while you're looking.
It's not very expensive. Go ahead.
So a friend of mine whose mom is in her mid-80s, I believe, got her mom an Alexa for the kitchen. And she said, we practiced a lot, and mom was excited to have it and everything. But I talked to her the other night, and she said, you know, I think I made that girl mad. And she's like, what girl? And she said, you know, that Alicia girl in my kitchen. So Alicia wasn't responding for some reason. So challenges.
Oh, my daughter will get a kick out of that, my Alicia girl.
Yeah.
Echo Auto is $50. So.
There you go.
Probably, depending on what your needs are. It looks kind of funny. You got to kind of attach it to your vent through this little V-clip so it gets up high enough so it can hear you. So it looks kind of funny sitting up there. And then the wire you got to snake down so it's got power. But if you're looking for that kind of thing, I would say that it works well. It hears and is fairly responsive. So give it a try. All right, Sally, where do we go next here? Ministry resource.
Yeah, I have a friend. I have connections, and I was made aware of a new ministry resource that ties to the Forward in Christ magazine. Maybe you could tell us a little about that.
Yeah, when you go to forwardinchrist.net, which is the redesigned site that Nicole was talking about, one of the features there is the ability to search previous issues, PDF versions of the past 5 years of previous issues, which is kind of nice because if you maybe remembered an author or a study or were looking for a particular picture, whatever, it's a tool that we've been able to build that allows you to search through full PDFs. It'll give you a highlight of where that word or words are found. And then you can actually bring up a whole PDF of the entire Forward in Christ. So basically, you've got 5 years of Forward in Christ available to you in PDF format. And there's a little viewer that's kind of built into the app where you can, turn pages. You can show it in a spread format, so you get pages side by side. You can even download the PDF to your own computer or tablet or whatever. So just kind of a nice little extra that you get as a part of the new ForwardInChrist.net site. But if you want to do some research, you've got now 5 years that you can search through as well, which is kind of cool. The technology behind this OCR, optical character recognition search, is very cool and very accurate. So you can find almost anything that you want. There's some advanced search features. You can filter by year or month. If you've got a favorite author, you can bring all those up. So it's a kind of a cool thing out there. So we'll put a direct link to that in the show notes, but you can also get to it by clicking on archive on forwardinchrist.net. On that website too.
So I'm slightly distracted because I just had the idea. I wonder if it would bring up my name. So I searched on Draper, and lo and behold, I'm in all 5 years of Forward in Christ. Actually, not me. Like 1 year, it's another Draper who's a called worker retiring, and another year, it's my kids graduating from MLC and things like that. But you can actually find yourself in the last 5 years of Forward in Christ. That's pretty cool.
Yep, it is. All right, let's move on to one of my favorite segments of the show, and that's our community feedback section.
And we have things to talk about. It's been a while, so lots of interesting conversations around tech and ministry happening out there, including Pastor Peter Hagen, who reached out to me actually in regard to our show in early December where we talked about Bible study. And so this is a good tie into just kind of our vision for 2020, just being more focused on Bible study. He's starting something with his Raised with Jesus podcast. Listeners may remember we interviewed Pastor Hagen back in March of last year, and he told us about this podcast he was doing through his church, Resurrection, in Malmy, Ohio. And he is continuing to do the podcast, but he started at the beginning of January, on January 5th, with 100 days of Bible reading. So he's kind of put out the challenge in his congregation and the surrounding area for people to be in the Bible for 100 days straight, kind of like 100 days of kindergarten or 100 days of that you celebrate. They're celebrating the 100 days, and they printed out bookmarks, and we'll have a link in the show notes. If you want to grab a bookmark and follow along, you can do that as well. The cool thing about it is they're looking at it kind of strategically in his circuit and area of group of congregations, because they're currently paying for a radio program, which costs them about $5,000 a year for their radio program, and they're wondering if podcasting and that kind of thing could be a way to share that same kind of media for a lot less cheaper, expensive price tag. And so he's not only doing it through the Race with Jesus podcast, but he's making his recordings available so others can integrate it into their own podcast if they are so inclined to kind of do their own intro and outro around it, or extra discussion around it, or whatever. So just a real neat thing, and we definitely will be following along this 100 days and following up with Pastor Hagen to hear how it's going, and it's a great project.
Neat.
A couple of questions came in through the Wells Tech listserv, both from Zachary Beach, as he was looking at church management software options and voiceover IP for his congregation. And so we'll include links in the show notes to a pretty thorough discussion that happened out on our Wells Tech Google groups. The questions were also asked on the Wells Intersections Facebook group, so there's some discussion there as well. Just to kind of sum it up, very thorough discussion of church management software. I would say our recommendation, or at least one to consider, would be Church 360. Seemed to fit a lot of the needs he was looking for. That's from our partners, Concordia Technology Solutions.
Right.
So I'll include a link in the show notes to theirs. But there's a lot of other ideas represented out there if you want to read through and get ideas for your own setup. In the voiceover IP area, people shared, you know, very technical specs and photos and things like that of different solutions that they've implemented in their church and school for voiceover IP. Mm-hmm. So good stuff. Great audience, great community that we have with Wells Tech and also the Wells Intersections group on Facebook.
Neat part is it's not just theoretical, I've heard or I've done a little research. It's we've used this, implemented it. These were our outcomes. So kind of cool to get that firsthand feedback.
Yeah, but and on the church management side, the discussion got into some of the online giving options that tie into it and things like that. So it was educational for me, and I'm sure others as well.
Good.
And then finally from the Facebook group, I just read an article about the ultimate guest gift guide for churches. So the idea would be you have visitors come and you give them something to connect them to your congregation. And this is actually from a website called Church Marketing University. And of course, one of the things they want to do is sell you some of their church marketing ideas. So, you know, keep that in mind. And in order to get access to their ultimate gift guide, you have to give them your email address for them to, you know, kind of add you into their fold or whatever. But I went ahead and did that, and I got the PDF, Ultimate Guest Gift Guide. And I would say it's worth at least exploring to get some ideas. What they did was they polled congregations, and many of them are kind of mega church kind of congregations that are out there, but they actually have photos of the things that they include in their little gift giving and the vendors that they use and the cost that, you know, how much they spend on it. You know, this church says we always have an NIV Bible available for them. This one has like a little branded notebook, pocket-sized notebook that you give them.
And, see, water bottles, books.
Some of them,
right?
Yeah, have books. They have children's ideas at the end, so don't forget about, you know, the visitors include children and kind of connecting with them as well.
Great idea.
So, yeah, just good thought-provoking thing to do a quick read through. I think it's only about 15 or 20 pages, but it's very well put together. And like I said, includes images and vendor lists and prices and things like that. So check it out.
Very nice. Mm-hmm. Community feedback is a place where you can get involved as a Wells Tech listener, and we would love it if you would. Just don't forget about our show notes page, because that'll give you everything you need to know, wellstech.wells.net. There's a link there to all the things that are related to getting in touch with us, all the social media stuff across the upper right of the screen, that Google group that Sally was talking about, a link to our email, wellstech@wells.net. There's even a link there to leave a voicemail. So please take advantage of that. We would love to hear your thoughts, ideas, experiences with different ministry tools. It's great to share. So take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. Sal, let's close out the show with video of the week.
And
I believe that's yours.
Yep. Ties into that YouTube channel I mentioned in my picks of the week. That's Art with Flo. She has one called 5 Fun and Relaxing Drawing Exercises. So just a good way to get started if you're interested in doing a little drawing practice. Some of it is coloring. Some of it is mazes where you're just practicing kind of your lines through a maze and trying not to touch the sides and things like that. And you can experiment with different brushes and things to try that with. And then the grand finale is drawing a line. Believe it or not, I downloaded
llamas,
this and didn't even realize there was a llama
thing
involved.
Is a thing.
It
right?
is. It is for sure. So
2020 has not dampened the llama goodness on Wells Tech.
All
right.
Not at all.
Very good. So take advantage of that again at our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Coming up next time we meet, we're going to be rejoined by Professor Rachel Feld from Martin Luther College to talk about education technology and all the things that our educators out there might find interesting as those streams meet education and technology. So thanks again for joining us for 619. We pray that you enjoyed it, were blessed by it, and benefited from it. Tune in for 620. See you soon. Bye-bye.